What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of The Rookies. This episode is with John Kurzawa of Seattle Thunder. John is one of the hardest working guys I know. He is constantly drilling, constantly exercising. He owns his own dental practice. He was a veteran. He was in the Navy. He's just always going 100%. And that's why I wanted to have him on the show. Just talk to him about his background, his work ethic. It's really something to look up to, I think, if you're an aspiring player, and just how his business is handling the current, COVID-19 situation. There's obviously a lot of unrest in the country right now. So we dive into a lot of things in this episode. If you're interested in the paintball half, that's like minute 0 through 30. If you're interested in the business half, that's like minute 30 through like 45. And then we go paintball again for like 45 through the end of the podcast here. Shout out to everyone helping us play the game. New Balance, Level Up Sports, Dave Pando, Ninja, Die, Valken, all of our sponsors out there helping us stay fresh. And we will hopefully be playing NXL paintball again soon, but you can catch us in 2 weeks at the MSXL Open Division. But without further ado, here is John Kurzawa. All right, and we are live with John Kurzawa. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just finished up dinner and putting the kids to bed. So you may hear some little kids running around here. They're getting to bed here. So
nice. Yeah, it's Monday when we're recording this. John, you just relocated to Akron, right?
That's right.
Nice. Where were you before that?
I was in Chicago with the Navy at the Naval Recruiting Center there.
Really? I always thought you were on like the East Coast.
Well, I was in North Carolina for 2 years at the Marine Corps base there. So I started in San Diego in my Navy career, and then every year or 2 years you have to switch. So I went from San Diego to North Carolina to Chicago, and then to my hometown, my wife's hometown of Akron. So
nice. So did the Navy move you to Akron, or are you all done with the Navy now?
Well, I'm done with the Navy. Yeah, I'm a veteran. So I finished my time, 5 years served, and they moved me to Akron, and then I'm done. So I owe a couple more years in the IRR, which is like, I guess if we have some type of trouble, they can call me back. But other than that, I'm retired.
Gotcha. That's not like trouble like we're having now. That's like global war trouble, right?
A little bit of both. I mean, I don't think we have the National Guard, so that's when they get activated. But okay. I mean, if the call gets big enough, yeah, it definitely could be me. So
interesting. That's crazy. My brother's in the Army Reserves, and I was actually just texting my dad today, like, hey, is he gonna get called? Because I know I'm in Boston right now, and the National Guard's been called here.
Yeah,
I know it's been called in Columbus. I think it's been called in like Louisville, Kentucky. So it's pretty wild yeah. Times right now.
Well, you're from Akron, or you went to school in Akron, right?
Yeah, I went to school in Akron. I'm from Cleveland. Like, I'm from a suburb right between Cleveland and Akron originally.
Well, I was at the office today actually, and Chapel Hill Mall was getting ransacked.
Oh no!
So yeah,
dude, it's crazy
right now.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. But where did you start your paintball career? Was that in the Navy, or were you playing paintball before the Navy?
Well, I dabbled just, kind of like we all did back in, 2000, whatever. My dad, had a gun and we shot the trees, and, that kind of died out pretty quickly. And I never touched paintball again, never even talked paintball. And then I was in dental school and had some free time because I was finishing up my schooling, and a buddy got a Groupon to the Siege Paintball in Wisconsin, which is a big field in Wisconsin. And I went there, played that, and I saw the kids playing speedball or X ball. And I was like, man, that's awesome. That's really cool. Like, they're, they looked organized. They had like all the gear, so that instantly kind of lured me in. So then I started kind of poking my nose around, and I found, long story short, I found Cody Mikowski, and I kind of asked him to train me, and he trained me up. So I spent every waking minute with him and a couple other guys. Mark Hollers was huge, and he's a Wisconsin guy, and Biggie, which is another guy from Wisconsin, they all were kind of running the show there. And so I hooked up with all those guys and they beat the hell out of me for 2 years, 3 years. And I just kept running from there. So.
Oh, man. So are you from Wisconsin originally?
No, I'm born and raised in Columbus area. So
that's what I thought. Because aren't you friends with Chase Buckley, right?
Yeah, yeah. So actually, Chase Buckley and I, we shot the trees, you know, for probably a couple times here and there. And Chase kind of took it a little bit further than I did. And I kind of stepped away and I didn't play paintball ever, you know, really. And so, but Chase, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And I grew up with that kid. So, and you know him pretty well through Akron and some other things, right?
Yeah, actually, I went to his bachelor party last year in Austin, Texas. He just got married recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I played on a D4 team with him and through TPA, so I've known him a long time.
I know. That kid should be in pro. I don't know why he isn't, but he's a good paintball player. He just needed to stick with it a little bit more. So,
yeah. Did he play on the D1 Outlaws with you?
Me and him kind of missed paths. Actually, while I was kind of coming up in Wisconsin, playing on some D4 teams, Chase was kind of getting back into it after he played on the D1 Outlaws team. And then it was almost like a transition switch. So like we played on a team together and then he kind of got out of it and I kept kind of moving forward. And then that's when Cody introduced me to the Outlaws and I tried out for them. And then, you know, the rest is history kind of. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy, man. So what a wild
small world, yeah, for sure.
It is a small world, especially in the paintball world. So yeah. When you started with the Outlaws, did you start on the pro team or did you start on like one of their divisional teams?
So I tried out Thanksgiving of 2013 or 14, somewhere around there, and I made their D2 team. And so then Jeremy saw him, you know, he kind of gave me an opportunity. And then from there, I just kept grinding and eventually got the call up to the pro team probably in about 2 years. I played on the Outlaws, maybe a year or 2 years. And then I got asked to be on the pro team. So I didn't play much that first few years, but I definitely put my time in a little bit and learned a lot. So very thankful to that organization and Jeremy and Cody.
I know you're in that program for a long time. You were driving too, weren't you? Because I remember would drive like 13 hours or something. Jeez. Crazy.
Yeah. So, well, I was still on the Outlaws when I played in San Diego. So I did a lot of stuff at Camp Pendleton when I could, but then I would fly to Fort Wayne, Indiana to play, you know, events with them. And then, or, you know, get ready for events there and then move to North Carolina. And then, yeah, it was me and Dave Haber. We would drive and a couple other kids, Joe Cho, he's on their pro team now.
Oh yeah. I know Joe.
We would drive in like a caravan in my SUV and we'd drive up to my parents' house in Columbus and then shoot over to Fort Wayne. And it was 12, 13, 14 hours sometimes. And we did that
Dude,
on a weekend.
That's brutal. Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah, we got really close and, you know, got some funny stories of Dave Haber, actually. So if we want to get into that, that would be.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it. Give me a good one.
So the juicy of Dave Haber, right? So him and I, we were the only two kids really that were motivated at this paintball park in Jacksonville in North Carolina. So I kind of saw him. He was just playing D4 paintball locally. And that kid just. He was built like me, just never gave up, never wanted to, you know, stop working. And him and I just hit it off and we just started grinding together. And so anyways, I take him out to the Outlaws. You know, he tries out, makes their D2 team or something like that. And then we just keep driving. Well, one of the trips, it was just me and Dave Haber. It's two in the morning. I don't know. We're probably an hour away from my house. I'm sleeping, being a bad co-pilot. And Haber wakes me up. He's like, Kersey, dude, something's wrong with your car. I'm like, what do you mean? What's wrong with my car? He's like, it's like sputtering and stuff. And it's weird. It's like not driving. And I look over and the orange light on the gas is
out of gas.
Oh my God. Yeah. The arrow is like probably an inch below the red line. And I'm like, Haber, you idiot. You're out of gas, dude. So we're on this like two-lane highway in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of North Carolina. We roll by this Walmart and literally we're fumes. I mean, we barely made it up. We park at a gas station, at a Walmart, and the Walmart's gas station's closed.
No.
So we're stuck here at 2:30 in the morning. I got to work the next day, and so does he, because we're both in the military, and we're really, you know, we're allowed to be away, but if we don't show up on Monday morning, we're getting our ass chewed. So
right.
Anyways, I'm like, Haber, this is your fault. You fix it. And so, and the funny part is, you know, in the military, I was a little bit of a above rank than him, so I could kind of push him around a little bit. So I was kind of like doing that. I was like, dude, you screwed up. You need to, you need to fix this. So he runs over to the Walmart, you know, it's 24 hours. So he gets a gas can. And I was like, hey, we're, you know, I think there might be a gas station down the road a little bit. So he runs in the middle of the pitch black to another gas station and fills up this little gas can. I don't know. He was gone for 15 minutes or so. And he jogs over to this gas station, probably about a half mile away, and then runs back. We fill up the car, drive it to that gas station, and then get home at like 4 a.m. We're both having to report to work at 6:30 the next day. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty fun and something we'll never forget. So,
dude, that's the best part about traveling for paintball is it's not the travel. It's like the those kind of stories that you get that you would never get doing anything else.
Oh, I know. And the bond, right? I mean, that right there kind of seals the family, you know, per se that we all talk about in paintball. But those are the moments that make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I remember I used to drive down to World Cup from Cleveland. It's like an 18-hour drive. And I would go with the one year I went with Nick Carney and Dan Letson. I know you go out to drop some frequently. So a couple of goons, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's like 2 or 3 in the morning, some odd time. We're in the middle of like somewhere between Alabama and Florida. And I don't even know if that's right. But, you know, we're close to Florida at this point.
Uh-huh.
And there's a car. It's like a semi-truck on fire on the side of the road. And I'm waking up from a sleep because I was in the back seat. And we got this car piled up. Like, I had to bring my gear in a trash bag because we didn't have enough room in the car for gear bags. So all my gear's in the trash bag. So like, I like curled up in this back seat because I was, you know, the smallest one. Dan Letson's a pretty big guy. Nick's fairly tall. So they're in the front. I step out of this car, you know, to look at this fire happening. And a fire truck almost just kills me. Like, you know,
it's terrible. By.
Jeez. Yeah, speeds by. I'm like, holy crap, man. Now, we also hit a deer on that same trip. A truck next to us hit a deer. The deer spins out, and Nick runs right over it. Car goes airborne and comes back down.
Was this Nick's Pontiac, the white one or whatever, that he was driving?
No, some kind of small hatchback.
Okay.
I can't remember. I'd have to ask him. But we pulled over at the next exit, and we looked under the car to make sure everything was all right, and there's just – blood and guts and deer dripping from the car. It was nasty.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nick, I didn't know Nick until this year, but that dude is awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
And he works hard as well. So, and the other one is Ryan Hollowell. He's a guy that's coming up with me. We're kind of working together. So just, and he's on your team. So yeah. We're working with each other and, you know, sharpening the sword together, which is awesome. So,
yes, you guys swapping jerseys out of Drop Zone.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good facility out there.
Yeah, definitely. Dan Letson, he's the man for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool. He lets you guys go out there in like the middle of the week and just kind of have the place to yourself, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, Nick and Ryan pretty much run the place when Danny's not there. So they have a key and they, you know, they put everything away and we, you know, we take good care of it. But Dan's very trusting and I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him and Nick go way back and Nick only probably lives like 10 minutes from that field. So
yeah,
it's pretty nice. But how did you balance, like, you were in the Navy, you were doing dental school and playing professional paintball all at the same time. Like, how are you able to balance that?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of pick and choose your battles, I guess. But, you know, my dental school was kind of wrapping up, so I had a lot more free time. And then the Navy, I really wasn't sure what I was getting into. And I actually did a residency, so I was, you know, studying and trying to play pro paintball. So that was a little bit hairy. And my commander at the time was a huge prick. And so I was pulling out every stop that I could to try to get this guy off my back because we weren't allowed to take any vacation. And I'm like, hey man, I'm trying to play this, you know, pro paintball and I can't miss these events. And he just wouldn't bend. So I was like, you know, having to kind of play, you know, any angle I could, you know, mom's birthday, whatever I could say to get, you know, get some free time. So, but you know, it's just a matter of, you know, a little bit of sacrifice here and there, but, you know, I have a wonderful wife who, you know, she supports me, and that's actually probably the biggest thing is that, you know, she doesn't bust my chops about being gone and, you know, doing the things that I love, you know? And so I really try my best to, when I'm home and with my kids now and my wife then, you know, make sure I spend quality time with them. So that way I can get away and they're not, you know, I haven't left any stone unturned or anything like that. So
yeah,
just the balance, you know, it's, you know, and everyone does it to some degree, you know, even if you aren't, you know, let's just say, you know, you're hanging out and you're playing paintball. I mean, you still have to balance things. I mean, you can't play video games your whole life. You have to go out and practice, or you have to, you know, watch a paintball video. You know, there's different things for everyone, and we're all kind of figuring out that balance and, you know, trying to make it work. So, especially when we're not getting paid for it most of the time. So,
yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're not making, I mean, we're the rookie pro team. We're not making any money.
Lots of sacrifices in paintball. And that's part why I think we get so close, right? Is because we do all understand how much we put into it and how much we really don't get out of it. You know, like there's no monetary, like, you know, value. There's no, you know, only thing we get is satisfaction and this camaraderie, this bonding and all that kind of stuff that truly is, you know, money doesn't really matter in the end. You know, it's these relationships that we're building and this competition and sport that we're playing that, you know, that's the memories that we're going to have, you know, when we're 80 and 90 and, you know, drinking a beer, talking, and, you know, when we do an interview when we're 90 years old, we'll talk about all the times we had. So,
yeah, yeah, 100%. So let's kind of maybe dive into your pro career. So you started with the Outlaws, and then from the Outlaws, you were on the Outlaws for like four seasons, maybe.
Yeah,
you were there quite a while.
Yeah, yeah. I think from 2013, like late 2013, and then let's see, I moved over to Boom just last year. So, you know, really 2013 to 2018, essentially, maybe 2019 somewhere. So yeah, almost six, well, what, I'm not good at math. I'm a dentist. So somewhere like 4 to 5 years there. So yeah, it was a good time.
Okay. Yeah.
Good camp, and then a great camp, you know, you got to learn to love and hate Jeremy Salm, but, you know, he's a good coach. He's got a lot of paintball knowledge. And so, you know, it was a great opportunity and I learned a hell of a lot from everyone there. But yeah, spent 5 years there, then moved on to Boom with Chris Jansen because I was living in Wisconsin and I just needed a change. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, one thing I can respect about Jeremy is that he has a process. It's like you don't come right onto the pro team. You start on the D1 or the D2 team and then he moves you up, you know?
Right, right.
He tests the loyalty, which I can definitely respect. I mean, when Asylum was retiring, I was still living in Kentucky. And that was, we're going to play at Asylum for like some of the practices and then, you know, play in Fort Wayne. I'm like, all right, well, might do this just because it's right here. But, you know, I was obviously trying to get on the pro team. That's why I was going there.
Right.
He's like, okay, you can start on the semi-pro team. That's where Haber started too. He's like, you know, Haber and Joe, he's like, you three start on the semi-pro team. You'll come up to pro. And I was like, yeah, I'm just probably going to play with my friends in semi-pro. Which is now Columbus level, you know, we were the Dropstone All-Stars, which, you know, obviously I'm really glad I did that because I was still able to make it to pro. But, you know, one thing you got to respect about the guys, he has a system. He doesn't just let anyone jump on the pro team. He makes you earn your stripes in the divisionals with the organization and then kind of come up.
Oh yeah. You earn it too, for sure. It's a beat down camp for sure, but it forms you into, you know, a pretty chiseled, you know, you don't let things get to you very, very quickly, for sure. So.
No, you can't be weak. You can't be weak in that camp. So they'll eat you up and spit you out
mentally, right? And that's more of this game than anything, right? So, you know, the good players that are out there are mental just savages. They know how to see the game. they know how to understand the game in a mental standpoint. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, he does tune in you, good or bad, you know, sometimes bad, but yeah. You know, it does tune you to knowing, you know, forget quickly, because if not, you're going to get wrecked. So,
right. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, after that, you went over to Boom. You guys had a pretty decent year, and then kind of the Boom merger happened, and I guess they're probably how many people did Boom lose during that merger? Because I know they picked up like half energy.
So the initial kind of thing was it was just going to be our team and then a couple energy guys. Well, we all know how that works, and so things change, and the closer we got to the season, more and more was getting unfolded, and so. You know, me, Kevin Wenk, who went to Aftermath, Blake McShane, he was retiring with, you know, family, girlfriend, wife stuff. Mm-hmm. So really out of the core that we had, I think Caleb Abel, Jason Dennis, Chris Jansen, who player coach, and then, Elliot Weaver. So it was really three dudes, who made, you know, from 8 or 9 to 3. So, you know, you can call it a merger, but, you know, I don't know. It was a little different than that.
Yeah. It's like us merging with Katana, you know, right. 10 to 0.
Right. I mean, you know, it's just the name of the game, right? It's not anyone's fault. It's just the way it goes. So, you know, I honestly, you know, I got asked not to come. So I was looking elsewhere. You know, and I kind of was already putting feelers out when I started hearing all this stuff going through. And then I got the call from Chris saying, "Hey man, we got a guy that's going to fill your spot." And I think it was like Chris Shear or some, you know, one of those kids over there in North Carolina, which I understood because I'm coming from Ohio. And you know, they can't pay for 4 people's airfare and, you know, whatever. So, and I was kind of put my foot down like, "Hey, if we're going to do this and we're going to try to pretty much start a new pro team, I'm not going to foot the bill, you know?"
Right.
So, and on Boom, you know, we paid for airfare, you know, everything else was taken care of, but, I was kind of putting my foot down there and saying, "Hey, we need to change this situation here." And they didn't like what I was, you know, asking for. So party ways. Yeah.
So. It makes sense from your point of view. It's like you had this good pro team and then it kind of gets gutted and you're left with like what, 3 or 4 guys, and then you have to merge with the semi-pro team. And it's like, why would you want to pay for that? You know?
Right.
So I totally understand where you're coming from. So how did you get linked up with Thunder?
Corey Field, you know, he's a paintball ambassador, and you know, I had some really good events with the Wall, and you know, kind of got my name known, I guess, a little bit. And I just, you know, I've talked to Corey for years and years. And, when I was thinking about leaving the Outlaws, I actually reached out to Corey then and was like, "Hey man, are you guys have any openings, or, you know, are you looking for a player?" And, I can't remember what he said then, but it was kind of just like, it wasn't going to work out. So, you know, I was like, "Okay, fine, no problem." And then when this Boom thing went through, I reached out to Corey and I said, "Hey man, you know, are you looking to fill a spot or anything?" And he's like, "Actually, we are." And so I was like, "Okay, well, I'm definitely interested." And so, you know, we just talked and, I had a couple other offers on the table. And so I told him, "Hey man, you know, what's the deal?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'd like you to come out and play and see what we got." And it was, you know, the rest was going from there. So Corey's a great dude and he runs a really, really good camp. Probably the, you know, not to knock any of the other camps, but probably the best camp I've been in, thus far. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hopefully it fits well with your like work ethic. Cause, I guess hopefully that people listening to this podcast can understand you're doing all these things. Like I don't know if they follow you on social media or not, but if you don't, they should.
Yeah.
You're always drilling. You're always working out. Like there's a video on your Facebook right now of you like pounding a tire, yeah. Like running sprints, like, yeah. You know, like I think
that
it might
a good
be
time.
An old video, but like, you know, you're a hardworking dude. That's why your timeline's kind of crazy where you were in the Navy playing high level divisional paintball and then pro paintball and also pursuing dental school. So how did you pick Navy and dental school? Was that at the same time or was that like one and then the other?
Well, you know, I guess it's the means to the end, right? So I always knew I wanted to go to dental school pretty much from, you know, middle school I knew I wanted to help people. So, you know, dental school was kind of the way I wanted to go. I like to work with my hands, so I can do both in this field and own my own business. So it kind of hit all the things that I was looking for. And dental school is not cheap. No matter where you go, Ohio State, in-state, out-of-state, you know, it's expensive. You're looking at about $500,000 worth of debt when you're done with school. And, you know, my parents, you know, they took care of me my whole life, and I wasn't about to put that burden on them. And I sure as heck didn't know how to look at $500,000 worth of debt. So
yeah, that's a lot.
I looked for other options, and I applied to get a scholarship to, you know, serve my country and also get my school paid for. So I was accepted through that process, and you know, I went through boot camp. You know, I went through dental school, then I went to boot camp, and then I got straight into the fleet. I did a residency, then I went straight to the fleet. So you know, worked as a dentist in the Navy and in the Marine Corps. I went to Greenside, which is where that video you're talking about when I was pounding sand. That was my mini deployment, if you want to call it that. But I was there in 29 Palms for a couple months doing that with the Marines. And then, so it's playing paintball during that time was a little bit tough, but I was, you know, I never really had a hard time making things. I didn't take any days off other than paintball. So yeah. It goes back to that balance thing, right? So like, I didn't go on every vacation that my friends were planning or my family was planning. I kind of held those days, you know, very dear to my heart. And cause I knew what I wanted to use them for, which was to go, you know, run around in the mud and play with my buddies, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, dude, 100%. I think a lot of people, like, people ask me how I live my lifestyle because everyone sees me traveling all the time. It's like, well, I'm not going out to eat at the bars, so like with you guys. I'm not drinking out. I'm not doing all these things that normal people are doing. So like when you ask how I have all this money to do these other things, it's like, it's not that I have more money than you. I'm prioritizing differently.
Exactly. You
know?
Yeah.
I
mean, that's wisdom, right? I mean, you know what you want. So you're going to, it's just like working out or eating right. You know, like you're not going to be pounding your butt at the gym and then going home and eating a sleeve of Oreos. You know, some people can, but most people can't. So you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Once you work out, you want to fuel your body with something good. You know?
Yeah. And the same thing, like you're saving your money because you know what you want to use it for. And that's to, you know, play paintball and have fun with it. You know, your fun is not going, I mean, it is going to the bars and having fun, but
yeah,
your more fun is hanging out, you know, with your buddies, going to, you know, exotic places or different parts of the country and, you know, grinding it out. So,
yeah. Yeah. 100%. I was supposed to play actually the AXBL this weekend, the Alabama Expo League that the level guys won it, but yeah, only three teams.
I saw that. What was with that? Cause, I saw a Snapchat from Carney, and he also mentioned that Keith Brown might be playing. And then I saw him in a Snapchat, but he wasn't rostered. So I was curious, was he just kind of there to hang out and play, or did he actually play?
He played with us. They didn't update the rosters. They didn't even post the scores online. It was like four of our level guys. So Matt Askren, Josh Lehman, Carney, and Danny Schanauer, and there might be one more. I can't, if I forget somebody, they're gonna get pissed at me. where are these photos?
Well, and it was set up by Robbie, right? So
yeah,
Robbie
and Rob
thing up. Yeah.
Yep. And then
is this at his field or league? Is this at his league or something?
It's not his league, but it's close to him. So he lives in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Robbie's a guy that I never really got to know. I know his name, and I watched him play paintball, but he was kind of CEP kind of was wrapping up as I was actually walking in. So I don't know him at all.
You know, what's funny is none of us ever met him until he started coaching us.
Yeah.
Only Hollowell knew him from NCPA.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, none of us had ever met him before this, except he was friends with Dave Pando because they both Dave worked at Dye.
Yeah.
He also played like a year on CEP or like an event. And then Robbie, obviously Dye, CEP.
Yep.
So the lineup was Keith Brown, Mike Zupa, Robbie Goldsmith, Matt Askren, Josh Lehman, Danny Schonauer, Carney, and then two other dudes who I have no idea who they are. I don't even know their names.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's like, of course we're going to win that event. You know,
well,
you have
– I saw – and the only other mentionable on any other team was I think didn't Trey Emerson play?
Yeah.
And then Colin Cherry, right? Who's an old, he's an old pro player. So yeah, I was like, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, you gotta have those fun events, man. I mean, that's what it's there for. So you make it open, you know, there's going to be a team that stacks it up. That's just the way it works.
For sure. And it's tough because there's no other NXL events going on right now and our guys want to play. And, you know, Robbie's like, hey, you guys want to play this? And a couple of guys did. So they went down. And I think we have actually our full line, or 9 out of 10 of us, playing the MSXL in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Hollowell hit me up about that. He was saying, oh, you should come play with us.
Yeah, so, jump in, dude. Why not? We got 9.
Yeah, I don't know. Isn't it the June 4th or 12th weekend or something like that?
14th? It is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually headed to Seattle to play in a Sacramento at Dave Baines's field in a mechanical tournament with.
That'd be way more fun.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be more fun. I don't know what the competition's like, but I'm sure Joe Barrett and all those guys will have a team in there. So hopefully there's some good competition. I just want to play organized paintball. So I've been telling Corey, like, man, whatever you got, just tell me. As soon as this whole thing lifts up and we can travel and it feels safe traveling, I'm there. So this was the first thing that we had, and I was like, I'm in it. Just sign me up. So
100%.
And plus, I get to use my my shocker, my adrenaline shocker frame that I haven't used yet, which I'm excited to use.
The mech one?
Yeah, the mech trigger, the CVO, I think it's called. So shout out to Adrenaline, because those guns just are so freaking awesome as far as they look and the way they function. I never would have thought that I would have liked the gun so much, especially coming from Die, which, you know, it shoots awesome.
Right.
And so to switch to a shocker, I mean, I couldn't believe that the gun would be better, and it is. So
I'm not just saying
that because I'm sponsored by them. I actually truly believe it. And like I said, Die is a hard one to follow. Kind of like, you know, Lux is kind of hard to follow too. But I mean, man, it's pretty phenomenal. I was a little worried about the frame distance, but it's almost matched up to the Die. So
yeah, Die ones aren't too long, and you're a pretty big dude, like in terms of, like, muscle mass, and so like it's probably harder for you for a, you know, slightly smaller gun, you know.
Yeah, well, I like to use a 88-90 tank, so I get that rifle going. So.
Yeah. yeah, man. But yeah, with all this craziness, it's been wild. So like one thing I wanted to get into with you is you're a business owner.
Uh-huh.
And actually I talked with Brett about this. Brett Messer, he said prior to the recording, you're decent friends with, you played with him on Infamous, in the mech stuff. And, you know, the coronavirus has obviously had a massive impact on businesses, and you are a business owner. So I just want to pick your brain and see kind of how this has affected you and like your family and stuff like that, and what you're seeing about things coming back online. And I know my friend's a dental hygienist having to take crazy precautions, things like that. So how is it in your world right now?
Yeah. I mean, how much do you want to get into? You want me to get into everything, or what
yeah, man. I mean, okay. we're only 30 minutes in. We got all day.
All right. Well, so, you know, it's really funny because before this whole thing got like national, my wife, you know, and she's an environmental policy master, so she follows biology things and these viruses, all this kind of stuff on the news.
What does she do?
Well, she used to work for like the county parks as like a assistant to the county director. So she would kind of do like projects and different greenery, you know, scapes and things like that. But anyways, she was going hardcore. We were traveling to Seattle like right when the first cases of COVID showed up in Seattle. And I was like, this isn't nothing. This isn't going to turn into anything. This is a bunch of, you know, made up stuff. And my wife's like, no, it's real. Like, you know, and China, it's full blown. And I'm like, well, it'll stay there just like the rest of them, kind of thing, being ignorant, you know? And, anyways, she's like, I'm wearing a mask and I'm wiping down the airlines and, you know, all the seats and everything and everyone in the airplane, you know, and I love my wife. So I supported her and I did the exact same thing. You know, even the whole time I'm like, this is nuts. But, so we were looking like weirdos, and then we fast forward to March 15th. Right. And I get an email saying my business needs to shut down. And I'm like, what? Like, what's going on here? You know, we had heard some things about it and people were getting more sick and sick. And I was like, it'll be fine. You know, still kind of trying to play the positive role. Well, come to find out, my wife was 100% right. You know, this thing was coming full head. And so May 15th, I get the email, hey, you got to shut down hygiene. So I had to close down my hygiene department, which is two hygienists. And, you know, I see in hygiene, we see probably 20 to 30 patients a day on each side. So it's probably, you know, 50 patients. And so that was a huge hit, you know, to what my business does. Yeah. And so the next, we got to, then 2 days roll by. It was, I think it was probably a Tuesday. Thursday, I get another email saying all dental operations have to be shut down. And, you know, the state board was shutting it down. And until further notice, right? So this was kind of real early. We were all like not sure what was going to happen. So anyways, I shut it down and I'm just sitting at home having a summer vacation that I didn't plan for, right?
Right.
And, you know, I'm a brand new business owner. I purchased my practice in July of 2019. So I'm only, you know, 9 months in, 10 months in. So, you know, not a great time to have a complete shutdown in income.
No, I'd imagine you don't have a massive savings because you probably have accrued some form of debt or something to acquire a new business.
Well, for sure. And you know, I always leave a big, big slush fund. So, you know, luckily I had that available. You know, I finance things so that way I'm not paying, you know, all up front on everything. But, you know, bills are still piling up and, you know, those things don't stop regardless of what you're doing. So, you know, it definitely was a little bit of a scary moment for a few weeks to a month with nothing coming in and everything going out.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I give props to my wife and my family, but, you know, my staff, because, you know, I told them day one, I said, hey, the advice we're getting is to, you know, not fire you, but put you on a furlough or unemployment. And so thank God I did that, because in hindsight, you know, I didn't do it right away and it bit me in the butt. And so my staff, they all got on unemployment like within a week, and it was before everyone started getting on the call. And I mean, that was just a headache. I don't know. Did you have to go through all that?
Through that? A call?
No. Like the unemployment and trying to file and do all that stuff.
No. So I didn't get furloughed, but I kind of almost wanted to be, because I was sure. Like, man, this, I can get a paid vacation right now.
Yeah.
So they furloughed about, I work for like a international company.
Okay.
And they furloughed about 60% of us nationwide. But I'm in a more senior position. I've been in my company close to 2 years. So I was able to not get furloughed. But I know people were struggling with to get the unemployment benefits and things like that.
I mean, you would sit on the phone. I know like Thomas Taylor was one guy that I was kind of watching, and he would say like he was calling days on end for hours and hours and hours. And in Seattle, I think he's in Seattle or in California somewhere up there. He was saying like it was almost near impossible. And he like I think after a month he finally got through of calling like 10 hours a day. And I just, you know, for myself and my wife, I just kind of was like, well, we'll use our savings until, you know, I can get this phone call made. But eventually you get through and you get to back pay all the time you had off. But man, it was stressful. So not only that, but then, you know, I had to lay off, you know, employees, and we weren't sure if they were going to get paid or whatnot. So that's a huge stressor.
How many employees do you have?
I have 8 employees, including myself.
Oh, wow.
So, I have 2 front desk. I have 2. My office is a little bit small, but I have 2 operatory chairs where I do all my dentistry, and then I have 2 hygiene chairs. So,
okay,
4 chairs total. And so, you know, I had to have a hard conversation with all of them and say, "Hey, I'm not sure what's going on, and we gotta shut it down." And so, you know, they all worked really good, and we all got through it. But you know, the biggest change, I guess, is all the stuff that we're doing now. You know, which is covering, you know, we have, you know, in my office, we have a waiting room. We don't use the waiting room anymore. You have to stay in your car and you call us, and then you come in, we take your temperature, you put on a mask, you know,
you take everyone's temperature.
Yeah. Everyone. Because,
oh my God,
you know, one of the only things we know about it is you get a fever, you know? And so a fever and any other of these symptoms, right? Which if you read it, the list is forever, but you know, the dental board is kind of, consolidated it to temperature, and then if you've, you know, traveled, or if you have any of the symptoms like cough and all that kind of stuff. But so anyways, you screen all these patients, you bring them in one by one. We, you know, are able to kind of run the same schedule, but it adds a ton of time and it adds a ton of stress to everyone else, because, you know, before they would just walk in at their own leisure on their appointment time, check in, and then be seated. Now we have to pretty much escort them through the whole process.
Jeez.
So it adds a lot of time, a lot of money. In addition to that, I've had to buy probably about $5,000 worth of equipment to like make my office, you know, be compatible, or not compatible, but kill the virus. So we changed a lot of our disinfectants. We have a bunch of different things that we do now to clean the rooms, and a bunch of air purifiers to keep the air as clean as possible. You know, different filters in our air conditioning, you know, and we're wearing, I mean, geez, we're wearing all these masks and face shields, and, you know, it's just, the list goes on and on, all these PPE procedures that we have to do. So anyways, not to bore you, but we're a ton of time and ton of money that we're spending on a daily basis just to be able to do what we did, you know, a month ago.
Yeah. This isn't boring to me. This is, I think it's very interesting. I'll preface this podcast, tell people, hey, if you want to listen to the business half, it'll start at about 30 minutes. If you're just in the paintball half, that's zero.
Yeah, we'll get back to the good stuff. But yeah, so the business side is good, right? So we're kind of going, we're going full steam, right? So we have a little bit of these implementations. We have a little bit more time added to our slots. So we're not seeing as many people every day, but I mean, we're still rocking. And the, I guess, in the dental field, you know, it doesn't really stop, which is kind of weird that we were kind of put on this non-essential list.
Right.
You know, people have toothaches, people have teeth break, people, you know, there's a ton of issues that happen in your mouth, and you know, you can't just put the pause button on. And so, you know, even through this whole thing, I was working, you know, on a emergency call basis, you know, where I was kind of, and anybody who had a problem, you know, if you had pain, you could call my cell phone and I would, you know, we'd figure out a time to meet. And so I was meeting on Saturday at 9 p.m. I was meeting, you know, it didn't matter what time of day it was. So, and that was a little bit stressful too, because,
yeah,
you know, I'd be, you know, trying to build a garden fence, you know, and I'm halfway in it, you know, knee deep in mud. And then I'm having to clean up and go to the office, you know, and see somebody and take a tooth out. So,
right.
It was definitely a weird situation, and actually probably, and you could probably attest to this, but even with the slowdown or staying at home, your whole schedule gets moved, you know, out of whack.
Cause oh,
you
yeah. have,
you know, I don't know if you're like me, but part of the way I stay, motivated and regimented is to do things in the same way every day, you know? So I wake up early, I work out, I, you know, I eat, and I, you know, I get ready for work. I go to work, I come home, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was turning into a high school kid again, essentially, where I was having my summer break. You know, I was waiting to read my summer books the last day, and I was staying in my PJs, you know, until whenever, hanging out with my kids.
I feel that. Yeah, I've, I like to think of myself as a pretty disciplined person and like a pretty motivated person, but this quarantine has like thrown me for a loop, dude. I am not nearly as productive as I used to be.
Yeah, if you don't have a gym, I mean, what do? You had to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. I've been running a lot. Luckily I have a roommate who's kind of into running. So me and him have been running, and I try and have a good support group. And, you know, if the other guys are running, I'm like, all right, I gotta get my run in today and stuff like that. But, it's definitely harder. Cause I think I'm more of an extrovert. So I draw my energy from other people.
Yeah.
And I like my office environment is loud and kind of energetic. And when I'm sitting at home by myself, I'm like, man, it's really hard to get work done. For me personally, for other people, it might be like,
yeah. Internal versus external motivation. Yeah. For sure.
But actually, so I guess the thing that interests me about all this is I am also trying to start a rental property business right now. So I was just in Ohio for the last month, and I picked up my first rental property in Cleveland. But now there's all these riots going on. And so right now I'm in an inspection process. So like anything's wrong with the house, I can send back to the owner and be like, you have to fix these things or I'm not going to buy it. And so
What kind of property did you get? Are you getting a single family home? Or are you getting a multi-unit? What are you doing?
Multi-unit. So it's a multi-unit right outside of Ohio City.
All right.
And it took me like over a month to get it, which was crazy. So it was my third house we put an offer on. I didn't realize how competitive the market was, because I figured with coronavirus, I'm like, oh, things will be down. I'll be able to get one easily. Not the case. Not the case at all. Every house was a bidding war.
Money's available, right? So that's not the issue. It's are you willing to take the risk in case, you know, things don't turn around, like the stock market and all that kind of stuff? Because we're all, you know, if you had any extra, I mean, shoot, the time to buy, you know, in the stock market was like a couple weeks ago, when it was pretty much a bear market. So like, you know, you're those sharks, and I'm going to put you in a little group of sharks people, but it's the time to buy when people are hurting, you know, and unfortunately that's just the nature of capitalism. So, you know, you're right on, you're spot on wanting to invest at this time. So props to you on that, honestly, because not a lot of people have the, you know, the money or the gumption to do that. So,
I'm struggling with the gumption. It's probably the scariest thing I've ever done, because it's almost all of my money, you know, into this investment, and I'm not going to be there. I have a property management company lined up, and I have people to help me, but
sure,
it's still pretty scary.
This is an interest of mine. I didn't know this about you, so I'm kind of cool. It's cool that I found out about this. Thanks, Paintball. Right. So,
right.
I've done a lot of research. I haven't actually jumped into the game yet, but BiggerPockets.com has this. You know about this website?
No, I'm writing it down right now.
Yeah, we'll talk after this, but I don't want to get down this housing market thing. But I will pass on all the information I have, because I've spent probably about a year now doing research, and I haven't yet bought in, but I'm right there behind you. And honestly, I think you're doing exactly what you need to do, which is, you know, just jump in. That's what everyone I talk to says, the only way to learn is to do it. And that's what you're doing, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I listen to a lot. I'm kind of a nerd. A lot of people don't know that, but I listen to a lot of like finance podcasts. I listen to a lot of, I read a lot of, like, the last two books I read, one was called Quit Like a Millionaire, and it's about the financial independent retire early movement in the stock market. Yeah. And then the book after that I read was Employee Millionaire, which is about real estate investing. Okay. So I try and educate that's like my side thing that I enjoy doing is stocks, and I'm trying to do real estate.
Well, I got some books to send you, because I've read them a few times and they have a lot of good information. And not only that, but these are books written by people our age. So they are in the same financial like situation. You know, it's not millionaires writing the books. So it's kind of helpful, because they really don't live behind the same rules. You know, when you're, like you said, putting all your money into, you know, one basket almost sometimes. So, but usually pays off. I think you're doing the right thing, honestly. So
thanks, man.
I'm trying. Let's segue on to something Paintball, but I think we'll talk after this, and let me at least impart a little bit of knowledge that I have, you know, that I've spent with you. So
dude, 100%. So obviously the coronavirus is crazy for the business world. But the NXL has also been hugely affected by this. And that's why we're playing things like the Asylum MSXL and the AXBL, and you're going to play a mech event. They've released the divisions. I saw Maddie Marshall and Yaya did a thing about the divisions the other day. So you guys, you're in the West, and then there's South Central, and then I'm in the East. There's been no dates released for that, though. What's kind of your take on that? Do you think that'll actually happen? Do you think we want to make events to a World Cup? What do you think going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I think there's one, right? So there'll be one per region is what I think is going to happen. Is that what you heard too?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just haven't seen anything farther. They released it a month or two ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's kind of progressed. You know, I don't know how much is insider information, but it's kind of progressed from multi events within that region and then into one per region. And then, you know, I also heard that, you know, it's not just a pro, you know, region event. So like if DZ All-Stars got a team together, they could play against the pro teams, kind of like old school paintball, where it's like amateur pro, which, you know, I don't know how much that's true, if it's going to actually work or what, but they may just make an exclusive thing. And that's the other thing that I've heard, is that it's just going to be an exclusive thing which is, you know, only pro teams in one at one field, which is kind of what they're doing with this, right? So they'll pick an area like level, you know, level field can, you know, harness or house, you know, 10 teams or whatever your division is. And then we all just play like a round robin style of paintball. So,
no dates
that I've heard. But I thought it was going to be around the Chicago time frame, maybe, because what, we lost Virginia, we lost Chicago.
Yeah.
What's after? Oh, we lost Dallas. So Dallas was before. Yeah. So yeah, well, Chicago's the 30. Yeah. Is Chicago the 30 or the fourth event before Cup? Right.
You know. Yeah, I think actually Richmond coming up. I have an event written on my calendar for like 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, I think that, well, September is Chicago. I think the Richmond, Virginia event was in June June.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been. Because my girlfriend writes everything on the calendar because I'm gone so much with paintball. So I like live by this calendar on our wall. So I was looking at it and it's kind of sad to look at. Like we have, you know, a bachelorette party for her and then practice for me and, you know, Virginia, and she was going to come to Virginia too because her friends live there. And it's like, oh, well, this whole month is just a wash.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I'm actually going to Utah on Thursday for a bachelor party though. And we're staying in Denver Sunday night because we fly out Monday. Uh-huh. And I booked a hotel last week in downtown Denver, but now all these riots are happening. I was on the phone with the groom today, like, hey man, we might have to move this hotel because like we can't be staying if there's riots there, you know?
I know. I don't even know, like, is this stuff kind of like bleeding into, like, you know, is it the whole city or is it like the downtown? I don't have cable, so I don't get to follow a whole lot, but you know, I just see things on Facebook and what people post, but I don't know. Is it like, can you drive through cities or like, can you do anything? Cause I've seen a couple that there's a tanker truck that was like getting overtaken. I've seen like a FedEx guy got, you know, hit somebody. I don't know. Yeah.
I know Columbus, Ohio is just putting a thing where you're not allowed into the city unless you have an ID that says you live there or a working ID that says you work in the city.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if I'm going to this event in Louisville in 2 weeks and Asylum's south of the city, but they're rioting in Louisville right now. So I was talking to Dane Hawkins, who used to run the page, the MSXL page. I'm like, hey, are they still going to have this event? Like, what's going to go on with that? So
yeah,
it's just crazy times.
I mean, I guess the effect would be, you know, if you stayed downtown Louisville, then you'd have to switch it. But I mean, the field is, you know, what, half hour from the city?
Not even. It's like 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's far enough away. I think that it shouldn't be affected.
Yeah. I used to love when I played for Asylum, I lived downtown and the field was just 15 minutes away. That was the best drive to practice ever. Now, like you fly to practice. So do I. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
how long
did you travel? Louisville's a sweet downtown too. So you got a little bit spoiled there. So,
oh yeah. It's sick.
Yeah.
How long's your travel time to like Seattle? Like what's your guys' typical, obviously it's an off year, but like what's your typical practice like and stuff like that?
We usually, everyone gets in Friday night and then, we either stay at Corey's house or if we go somewhere, like we went to Sacramento, we just got a, Airbnb. And then we all just house together. But, typically I fly, I don't work Fridays usually. So what I'll do is I'll take Friday morning and afternoon and hang out with my kids. And then my flight over is really good because, you know, they're 3 hours behind. The flight back is the pain in the butt because, you know, the latest flight sometimes I can get is like a noon, which is just absolutely ridiculous for practice. So like I try to ask Corey like, hey man, can we like do a long day Saturday and then like early day Sunday? So we usually try to do that because me and Unger and let's see, GJ Sakaguchi comes from Hawaii. So like we got some people flying from all over. So, and then Mark Henry, the Sandana owner, he comes from New York. So him and I kind of ask, hey, can we got to leave out early on Sunday. So I may actually end up switching my schedule to the opposite, depending on how this season ends out. I'm going to start not working on Mondays and then work on Friday. So that way I can, you know, make the flight back on certain days.
Yeah, that's a perk of, you know, sole proprietorship. You make your own schedule.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's nice. It's, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, right? So I deal with everything, right? So, you know, like today, let's see, a couple, one of my lights broke. So I had to become a handyman, you know, midst of being a dentist and a psychologist and, you know, dealing with my staff and my patients and, you know, everything else. So it, I wear a lot of hats between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I didn't realize you had that many employees. I just thought it was like just you and maybe like a front desk person. That's cool that you have like you employ seven other people.
Yeah. Yeah. We do good. So it's busy and that's the way you want it. You know, if your business is not busy, you're not doing good. So yeah. You kind of want the hustle and you know, so to some degree, COVID was not a bad thing, but the timing could have been better for me if I had to plan it. And I obviously don't want people dying for,
right.
You know, disease and things like that. But, you know, I think as a whole, it slowed us all down. And I think that brought us together as families better.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if you're an individual, it might have felt isolated, but, you know, if you know, hopefully you had a small group of people that you could get with. And I think that, you know, everyone ate out less, you know, we were saving more money, even though we weren't making it, you know, you had to really look at your finances and put together a plan, which I think was a good thing in some, you know, regards. So,
yeah. Yeah. The amount of money I've saved not playing paintball in this time is astronomical.
I know.
It's crazy, well, dude.
That's money you already planned on spending, which, you know, right. Again, it's like, you know, you already set that aside. So, you know, it's kind of like you're going to have a surplus to use, you know, maybe on paintball. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. I don't really, you know, maybe I'll invest some of it, but I think that money is always set aside because the more we can play, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, 100%.
I hope there's I hope there's more open events. That's what I really hope for. I hope that we can get more mechanical paintball. I think I've never played mechanical paintball until I played ICPL with Infamous and then ICC with Infamous. And I tell you what, that is one of the funnest venues, you know, avenues of paintball with the woods and, you know, just it's just a different game. You know, it's a little bit more laid back, but I can tell you it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, I've never played
mechanical.
No.
Oh, okay. No, you got to do it, man. You got to get out there. Have you ever played in the woods before or no?
Yeah, I started in the woods, for my birthday actually, when I was like 14 or maybe I was like 12 or something, but yeah, I think I was 12, but yeah, I used to play only in the woods. And then just like you, I saw the people playing speedball and I'm like, I've played sports my whole life. So I'm a naturally competitive person. I was like, oh, you can do this as like a game, like competitive and compete. I'm like, let me get into that. So I just kind of ran from there, you know, head on into speedball. And I've been playing ever since. And I think a big part of like what, you know, what you show and what other pros show is that to get to the top, it's just a lot of discipline and a lot of sacrifice. Yeah. And, you know, it's so many weekends away from friends and family. And if you're not on like one of the top teams, like Heat, Dynasty, Impact, then you're going to be footing a lot of the bill. I don't know what Thunder setup is like. I'm sure, you know, it's good. They're a pretty established team, but there's a lot of the, you know, the second half teams. Like I know on the Outlaws, it was like a monthly due. It wasn't a lot, but it was still something.
Right. You still paid. I mean, you benefit from having that pro spot or name, but it doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's not like what we all imagined, which is like, you know, the ESPN, Ollie Lang, you know, things that, you know, I never got to experience. I just get to go back and watch it on YouTube, but it seemed like they were the kings and kind of played, you know, the professional, title was a lot more, it was a lot more accurate, if that makes sense. So like, you know, you didn't really talk to the other, you know, people, you kind of were in your own little thing and it kind of put you on a pedestal and the pedestal came with its perks, which was you probably didn't pay for anything. And if anything, you got paid. So
yeah,
again, I didn't get into this sport to make money. I got into this sport to be competitive at the highest level. And that was the first thing when I walked into speedball and met Cody, the first day he said, what do you want to do with this? He said, I'm not going to waste my time. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I want to go pro. Cause I like had watched a couple of videos and I was like, that looks awesome. I think I could do that. You know, my athleticism, I thought would get me pretty far. And, he was like, all right, let's go. And so, you know, pretty much he's telling me now that we're, you know, good friends. He's like, if you would have answered that question any other way, I would have not ever talked to you.
Damn.
You know, like, you know, and some, you know, he would have been cordial and like yeah. he does with a lot of people, but, he wouldn't have, I don't think he would have brought me under the wing like he did, you know, because I think he saw in my actions and in my words, you know, that I was true. And I still am true to today. Like, I still feel that same way. Like, I still feel like I'm working to get to the top to some degree. And I don't think that ever changes. You know, you can ask some of the best players in the world, like Archie. And I think Archie says the same thing a lot of times, which is, you know, he's always learning. And that's in anything that you call professional, right? I mean, you're a professional businessman as well. And so, you know, being the best of your craft, you have to put time in no matter what, right? If you think you've known it all, you're in a sore, that's a sorry boat you're going to be floating in, you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah. I think in all things, and, you know, I guess my first professionalism is my dentistry. And I hands down know that I, you know, I did the best I could in school. You know, I graduated top of my class, so I can kind of have a metric to that, statement. But I know that I put everything I had into being that, and because I wanted to serve my patients, really well. So my first professionalism is my dentistry, and my second professionalism is my paintball. So I've had to kind of take a little bit from dentistry to be the top of my game there to being top of the game of paintball. And I'm still not there by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I'm a realist. I know where I sit amongst the players that I look up to even today, even though I play against them. So it's something yeah. that we all, I think you can even probably say the same thing, right? You know, you still have players that you reach out to, you look up to, you want, you know, mentorship kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
So
man, I can easily say I was starstruck playing against, you know, Infamous the first in a dynasty, and the AC guys, you know, they're more of a newer pro team, like in the last 5 to 10 years, like not like a established, but like even playing against those guys, it's like when you're playing against these storied teams, you're like, damn, dude, I just like shot Ryan Greenspan like
your whole life, right? You've been yeah. watching these guys, and you now get to shoot them, and that is awesome, right? I mean, and then eventually that kind of wears off, and you start to think like, these guys are just normal paintball players, right? So like, you know, and that's when, you know, and I still, you know, Justin, to be honest, I still kind of have that little bit, you know, like I try to fight it all the time, but to be honest, you know, I don't think that ever really leaves you. And if it does, I think you might have an issue as far as, I don't know. I studied some sports psychology, and I think there's a huge factor in any type of competition. And that is a little bit of anxiety and maybe a tiny bit of fear. So like, if you don't have that, you actually don't perform as good. Does that yeah. make sense?
You're probably not as passionate about it.
Right. And you heighten your senses, right? So like when you have fight or flight, man, your senses are the most strong they've ever been. Like you can see probably a mile away, you know, like you yeah. could read a paperback book from a mile away when you're about to get hit by your fire truck. Right. So like, all those things, you know, if you have a little bit of that, it puts you on a little edge. And that's what this class I took kind of taught, you know, there's a healthy level of anxiety. So, you know, every time I step on the field, that right when that buzzer hits, you know, it goes away, but up into that moment, you know, it's sharpening me to be, you know, as good of a paintball player as I can be. So,
yeah, I agree, dude. It's like, you know, people always ask like, oh, how long are you going to do this for? And I like my response, is like, I'm going to do it until when I get on the field for the first point of the event, if, you know, if I don't have like butterflies in my stomach or I'm not jittery, if I feel nothing, then I'll stop. Yeah. But as long as I go on the field and I feel, you know, that like that energy inside of me that like, oh man, I'm about to like, you know, it's 10 seconds. This is about to go to war here. Like, as long as I feel that, I'm going to keep playing the game. And when that's gone, then I'll know, okay, like now it's my time to step away.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. It's cool that we can even have that option because, you know, you play football or you play any of these professional sports. And again, we're not talking the same caliber, right? So
yeah.
But at the same, in the same breath, right, it's one of the few professional sports, but I mean, I guess cornhole, you know, on ESPN, if you want to call that a sport, which it is, and they probably make more money than we ever would. But,
oh, they definitely do.
You know, those are the guys that can play when they're 40s and 50s. And really, you know, any elite, you know, high level elite professional sport where you're giving your whole body. I mean, those guys, 30, 32, I mean, we would probably already be over, right? You know, I'm 32. I probably wouldn't even be able to play, you know? So my body would have given up, or I would, you know, mentally be, you know, exhausted. So, you know, it's kind of cool in the sense that, you know, maybe that's the, we don't make the money like that, but we get to play longer. I don't know. Maybe that's the positive side of it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's almost like, it's good, but I think it could almost be a problem in the NXL. Something I was actually thinking of today, the pro teams, the top pro teams, they don't really have a lot of turnover. So there's not a lot of room for, like, you know, in NFL, it's kind of sad to say there's so many injuries, so many people that retire every year, that there's always a new class of college graduates to fill it. Right. In paintball, I mean, Greenspan's been playing 20 plus years. Like,
I know,
you know, well,
I agree with you too. And I want to just say that, that's that mental sharpness thing, that like part that paintball, you know, it's very physical, but in the same regard, I think it levels the playing field to a mental standard, right? So like a kid, let's just call it a kid, right? So he's physically and athletically, you know, probably better than even me and you and Ryan, you know, and definitely Ryan Greenspan at his age, but his mental capacity is not there, you know, and he doesn't have that file folder of just decades of moves and plays and, you know, experiences, you know, and that's why I still think Ryan Greenspan is at, you know, one of the best players, you know, to step on the field.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, if you can learn how to be that, you know, quicker, then yeah, I think you'll see a change. But until that day happens, I don't know. I think we're going to see the mean age of our sport continue to grow. Versus decrease.
But yeah, I agree.
We're seeing more and more. I think the good news is that we're able to get new blood in, which I think, and you can attest to this because I haven't been around that long, but I don't think that has been the case for, you know, very long. So
no, yeah, it doesn't seem to be.
I don't know. The Outlaws was a new team in 2013 or 14 to the pro division. So, you know, that was really all the experience I had. And so I don't, besides Boom and Outlaws, you know, but consistently we're bringing the team in every year. So I guess they really are doing that. But one out of, I mean, shit, how many teams do we see at the events? I mean, World Cup's 300 teams. So,
yeah,
you know, one out of 300 teams. I mean, that's tough. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Last year, so Katana folded and Elevation got relegated. So us and AC Diesel came up. So two out of 300 plus get to move into the pro division.
And that's every year, and you know you got to experience it in the semi pro division, you know, being right there on the cusp. So I mean, how gut wrenching is it when you add up your points and you're like, dang, we're 10 points away. You know, we could
have. Oh, it's terrible. And in semi pro, you're basically paying for everything, like. Luckily with level, we had a lot of funding, and a lot of the good teams have some kind of funding. I don't think any of the top 8 to 10 teams, you're not going to be there in semi-pro without some kind of backing. But it's a grind, dude. There's a lot of good players in that division, and
I watch those games. They're great to watch. I mean, I think that it's about the, it's, you know, the differences, right? Now that you've played an event, it's a good stepping stone to get you to that next level, which the only way you get to know it is to play it, you know,
100%.
The only way you know how to play pro is to get your butt kicked for a few years in pro. And I think you guys did pretty dang good. So I think you guys, you know, and to some degree, I think that every new team that's come to Vegas gets to have a little bit of a showcase, you know, it seems to have that flow. like Elevation came in and made Sunday the first event, you know, they ever played. And you guys came in and shocked, you know, several teams. And, you know, even, well, Energy wasn't a new team. So really it was you and who else?
AC. AC's second team.
Yeah. And I think they went 2-2, right? So,
no, they went 1-3 as well. Oh, all the new teams went 1-3. Yeah.
Okay.
They were close though. They had some close games.
Yeah. That whole event, I mean, it was neck and neck the whole time. It was a fun layout looking back at it, you know? So a lot of big points, some games, some little points. It was such a sporadic, field. It could play really, really fast or really, really slow. And it was strange for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they keep making fields like that. Like that speed, that pace of play was so enjoyable to play and so much more fun to watch than I think anything we've had recently.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a good event to step into the ring with. So, and you guys did well. You held your own. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we just knocked out an hour and 10 minutes, man.
Wow, that was fast. I feel like we could go for probably another hour.
Right.
So,
but yeah, anyone, let's get a shout out to all your sponsors. Just run through them for me.
Yeah, definitely. So Shocker Paintball, Adrenaline Paintball, Carbon Paintball. We got Die Rotors, R2. We have, I said Carbon already. We have, Push Goggles, and they're phenomenal. Powerhouse Regulators, awesome regulator. If you don't have one, you need to get one. Am I missing anybody? HK Army for our tanks. And if I'm missing anybody, Under, one of our biggest sponsors. Sorry, Chris Ringo. Hopefully you're not listening to this, but definitely Under. And Sandana with Mark on our team. We get the little bit of Sandana here and there. So, and then Corey Field, shout out to Corey Field, and Cody Mikowski as always. Those two, you know, that guy is, why I'm here. So I thank him every day and, very thankful for him. So, I guess, can I do my, Facebook and, Instagram shout outs? So, obviously my name, John Kurzawa for Facebook, and then at Kurzy24 for Instagram. So, if you want, I don't post up as many videos as I used to. I kind of fell into a I want to do this for myself thing versus other people. So sorry, guys, but I'm doing it without recording it. So still working hard. I just I'm not as posting, I guess would be a word. So I don't want to. I don't want. I got a little negative feedback, so I kind of I reapproximated my thinking on all that. So
negative feedback on the social media.
Yeah. Just, you know, and it's, there's always naysayers, but I just, from that point to, you know, just having some personal reflection, I kind of, why was I doing it? Right. That's kind of the question I asked myself. And so was I doing it for myself or was I doing it for something else? And then I started having more, leaning towards something else. So I stopped doing it for something else. I came back and did it for myself. So still doing it, still working out every day, still eating healthy, you know, all those things you have to do to be a pro athlete, as you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you think you're getting away with the Twinkies and not running, you're going to have a long time in divisional. So
that's for sure. Yeah. All right. John Kurzawa, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.